The Bible and Modern Science with your host, Dr. Joseph Henson of the Science Faculty of Bob Jones University. Here is Dr. Henson.
Thank you. On our last program, we had just introduced the subject of insects as food. And we've made comments about this before. I'm sure most folks do not consider insects to be a staple of their diet. And yet there are many people who eat them regularly, which we'll talk about in a moment. But probably the idea of insects as food is much more important with organisms other than humans. And we'll talk about that also shortly. There are many animals which are, there are few that are restricted solely to insects. And there are others that insects make up a fairly large percentage of what they eat. So considering all the organisms, insects take on a very much more important role than most folks might think of immediately. Arabs, for example, will eat locusts. These are probably some of the short-horned grasshoppers, Acridiidae. Now, whether these locusts are the same locusts as those that have been infesting North Africa and this past year as far east to Israel, whether those are the shorthorn grasshoppers or not, I'm not sure. I suspect they are. While we're talking about that, we might make a comment about the locusts that were one of the plagues in Egypt. In my own Bible reading, I've just finished reading for this year the discussion of those plagues. And because of some of the statements there in Scripture, I am suspicious that those organisms probably were different from what we consider to be locusts today. They were certainly some kind of flying insect, but conceivably other forms of the Orthoptera, the straight-winged insects, conceivably even certain kinds of beetles would fit the description that's there. So we really don't know. They may have been grasshoppers. The taxonomic approach to this, the term Locustidae, which should be a family name for one of these, simply does not exist any longer. And what most people think of when they use the word locusts, the 17-year locusts or cicadas, are in a completely different order. So the fact is, we, as is true in many cases, we're simply not real sure what that those particular organisms were. And I don't think we can add much to the fact that we simply don't know. We can speculate, as you wish, and it is entirely conceivable that those organisms that have been used as food consistently by the Arabs for centuries may have been the same thing as the locust there in Egypt, although there are a couple of biblical comments there that would at least open the door to the possibility that those were unique organisms which God created. African natives eat ants and termites and beetle grubs, caterpillars, and grasshoppers. Now, I made a comment on a previous program to the effect that the insects are much more nutritious than other things that we often eat, and this is entirely true. I had a professor in graduate school who worked for several years on producing a flour, F-L-O-U-R, from fly maggots. And the fact is that material was much more nutritious than beefsteak was. Did I ever eat any of it? Well, not knowingly. I don't know that I would object to it wildly, but I just didn't, I did not ever have an opportunity knowingly to eat of it. But this gets us back to the fact that folks in this country have been able to be very fussy about what they eat by virtue of God's blessings and His providing sun and rain and all the other things that are needed for crops. We have seldom ever suffered from any lack of food in this country, and for that reason, a lot of folks are really fussier than they have any right to be. I don't have an objection to that, but it simply raises the likelihood that there may come times in the future where we will find ourselves of necessity having to eat things that we might turn up our noses at presently. And be that as it may, there are many people in the world who habitually, regularly choose to eat insects of one kind or another. Some of you probably have seen pictures of the huge mud termite colonies, the houses for them in Africa, where there are millions of termites in one of those colonies. And in a land that has seen persistent lack of food, these actually form a very nutritious possibility for food for lots of people for extended periods of time. There are people in the Orient will frequently eat grasshoppers. The Apostle John, the Bible tells us his diet was locusts and wild honey, and I suspect strongly that those locusts were probably the shorthorn grasshoppers. So our choosing not to do that is simply a matter of prejudice, not a nutritional matter at all. Now, there's a rather interesting instance of this in Mexico. There are some Lepidopteran larvae, large skipper butterfly larvae that are called gusanos, G-U-S-A-N-O-S. I may not be pronouncing it correctly. These get to be fairly large. They are, in certain areas at least, are collected live, sold live in the markets, and then fried. And it is possible for you to buy cans of these caterpillars that have already been fried and preserved in that way. Again, I have not eaten them. I'm not in a position to make comments one way or the other about what they taste like. But I would not balk at eating them if it were necessary. So, lots of folks eat insects regularly. Now, be that as it may, there are a great many Americans who eat first cousins of the insects and consider them to be great delicacies. Lobsters, shrimp, crabs, of course, are arthropods. And we perhaps could stop and deal with a quibble here about the scripture indicating these things are unclean organisms. And I'm sure there are some people who choose not to eat them for that reason. But I think you need to go back and be sure you understand what the scripture is teaching and understand that those commands were given specifically to the children of Israel, not to the Philistines or the Canaanites or anybody else. And if you will read the scripture carefully, you will discover that they involved actually a matter of ceremonial obedience. This is not a commentary. The biblical statements about them are not commentaries on their nutritional value. If you read carefully, you will discover that obviously if an Israelite ate a ham sandwich, he would be guilty of violating one of God's commands, and he would be unclean until sundown. But it's also indicated clearly in the scripture that if he touched a pig, he would be unclean, or if he touched a ham sandwich, or if he touched a person that had touched the pig. In all these cases, they would be unclean. Now, as soon as you understand that, then you also have to understand that these commands had nothing to do with nutrition. Rather, they were part of a series of commands that involved obedience by the children of Israel to the instructions which God had passed out. Now, we can quarrel over whether these are good or bad and whether there is some value of this kind of thing today. I've heard people teach, for example, that it was wrong for a Christian to wear garments with linen and wool mingled and try to dredge up some kind of physiological advantage if that is avoided, or some kind of difficulty that would occur if people wore such garments. Now, this, in my opinion, is simply resting scripture. If you don't want to wear those kind of things, fine. But don't try and add to the scripture some meaning which the scripture clearly does not give. And in most cases, I think this is simply a twisting of what the intention of scripture is. So, eat insects or don't eat them. You make a decision about that. But we do eat those that are closely related and consider them to be delicacies. Now, great many animals, I had occasion to allude to the spiny anteater a couple of programs ago. Apparently their diet is exclusively ants. There are certain of the birds, for example. There are a few that are entirely insectivorous. There are others that are primarily insectivorous. So there are lots of animals that are dependent on insects, and a few that are have their diets restricted to insects. There are many fish whose primary diet is composed of insects of one kind or another. Many of these are aquatic larval stages of insects. There is one very interesting example of this. If you have occasion sometime to go to Salt Lake City, you will find a statue there. My recollection is out beside the Mormon Temple, and it is a statue of a seagull. And this is commemorating the fact that their seagulls, at one point when the Mormons first went into Utah, they were facing what have come to be known as a Mormon cricket infestation that was threatening to destroy all of their crops. And seagulls came and ate the Mormon crickets and saved the crops. And so you can see the statue still there. My wife and I were driving out to the Dinosaur National Monument, Dinosaur National Park, that is found in western Colorado and eastern Utah a number of years ago. Driving back down away from the entrance toward a river that was some miles away, and after a while I began to detect a very peculiar odor, and it kept getting stronger and stronger, and then finally we discovered why. There were Mormon crickets that were making paths across the highway, places where the crickets would cross, and their crossings were 2 feet wide or so. There were thousands, millions of them there. And of course, automobiles didn't slow down for the crickets, so there were lots of squashed ones as well. So those crickets are still out there. They're rather large insects, by the way. And so here was an instance of insectivorous birds. Gulls are insectivorous. My observation about them, gull eat most anything. But at least in this case, they served to provide protection for the crops for those people so that they would not have to endure the possibility of starvation.
Thank you, Dr. Henson. You may send email to Dr. Henson at jhenson@bju.edu. That's jhenson at bju.edu. Or write to Dr. Joseph L. Henson, Box 34621, Bob Jones University, Greenville, South Carolina, zip code 29614, in the United States of America. You're invited to listen next time for The Bible and Modern Science.